Hello and welcome to episode 10 of Clutch Football. I'm James Martin. Fabio, how does it feel to have made it to double digits?
I didn't know we were on episode 10, to be honest. That's really good.
Yeah, pleased with that. A good little regular thing going now. Anyway, let's hopefully make it a good one. We have three games to preview coming up for you. That's Manchester United versus Arsenal, Leeds against Leicester, and Aston Villa versus Southampton. But before that, let's quickly have a look at how we got on last week. It didn't start off well in United versus Chelsea, did it, Fabio?
No. I think we both tipped Werner to score 8-5. Obviously, that didn't happen. It ended 0-0. And my wild card was over 2.5 goals in a Chelsea win, and neither of those happened. So that was a bad start.
Yeah, terrible start. Similar for me. My wild card was, I think, possibly the furthest away I've ever been on this show from being right. Both teams to score in both halves, try neither team to score in either half. It was just absolute shocker. I wasn't that pleased with it even when I tipped it, if you recall, but I certainly didn't expect it to be quite this far off. So yeah, let's just move on quickly from that, shall we? Slight recovery in Arsenal versus Leicester for me. I had an under 2.5 goals winner at 11-10. My wild card was 1-1 at 6-1, which was obviously close. Finished 1-0 Leicester, and Arsenal did have one or two big chances in that one. But yeah, so one out of two there for me. How about you?
Yeah, a lot closer than me. I had Arsenal to win at 10-11. I suppose it could have happened. It was a tight game. Leicester won it late on. And I had Bukayo Saka anytime score at 4-1, which obviously didn't happen.
Yep, the Spurs-Burnley game on Monday night. Again, one out of two winners there for me. Just a simple tip, winning there with Spurs to win. That belatedly came in at 3-5. They kept me worried for a little while, but eventually the tried and trusted duo of Kane and Son providing that goal. I tried to go a bit more adventurous on my wild card with a Bale brace, which was obviously miles off. How did you get on?
Not great. Yeah, I probably should have tipped a Kane assist after we spoke about how creative he's been. I tipped a goal instead at evens. Obviously, that didn't come off. And after saying how wrong I was about Tottenham's attacking potential, I tipped 3.5 Tottenham goals at 6-1, and I couldn't have been more wrong. Under 1.5 would have come in this time.
Yep, Spurs are being a bit of a tease at the moment. I mean, a lot of teams are proving hard to predict, but yeah, those games are just going back and forth in terms of how creative Spurs look on any given week. I think we're avoiding them this week, so hopefully a bit more respite, but we'll just quickly summarise our overall wild cards as well. It was a bust for me. I went Mane to score in the first 10 minutes at 11-1. On the one hand, it wasn't close at all, given that he didn't score all game. But then again, he did have a shot cleared away from, well, you could generously call it off the line. It was near the line anyway. It got past the goalkeeper, and that was within the first 3 minutes. So maybe a bit unlucky. How did you do on your wild card?
Not quite as close as yours. Harry Kane to score a hat-trick at 25-1. Before the game, I thought this was a great tip, to be honest. I thought Tottenham were going to run riots, but in the end, nowhere near.
Yep, we'll steer clear of Spurs for a little bit.
Yeah, thank you.
So just before we move on to this week's tips, we're trying this new thing where we just discuss some of the bigger talking points of the week. And at the moment, I think the thing that everyone's talking about the most is probably pay-per-view, especially with Mike Ashley, of all people, coming out and saying the price should be reduced. I mean, Fabio, when Mike Ashley says that fans are getting ripped off, you know something's gone horribly wrong, don't you?
Yeah, Mike Ashley's got a bit of a reputation as a mercenary. So for him to be saying that, it really says something. The pay-per-view price is ridiculous. The pay-per-view concept is kind of ridiculous, to be honest. If you want to watch football in this country, you have to pay an absolute fortune. So something needs to be changed.
Yeah, I think you made two good points in there. The one thing is, like you say, the whole concept is what fans are opposed to. So much as it's welcome Mike Ashley coming out and saying the price is too high, in some respects he has still missed the point as usual, because, I mean, $4.95 per game is better than $14.95, but it's still not at all the model that anyone wants. And secondly, like you say, the fact that it's in this country, it's so hard to watch the domestic football league. It's just a joke when you compare the packages you can get in, say, the USA to watch the Premier League. But yeah, as you say, something needs to be changed at some point. People need to sit around and have a proper think about the broadcasting model, because it's not working for fans right now.
Yeah, it's just not viable for some people to watch their team play every week. They simply can't do it. And for it to be accessible to fans in other countries, and not the country where the league has taken place is just madness, really.
Exactly. Anyway, rant over, and on to this week's tips. First up, we have Aston Villa against Southampton. I've got a bit too excited about my tips for this game. I've already backed them both. I'm convinced they're coming in. So my value is just straightforwardly Southampton at 7-4. For me, that looks like crazy value. Villa obviously started really well, but they benefited from kind fixtures against largely out-of-form teams, plus obviously that freak Liverpool result. They're still a bottom half side for me, whereas Southampton, I would say, are not. They gave a truer indication of their quality last week against Everton, and that game as well was a great indicator that early form shouldn't mislead us too much. So I actually personally picked up a 2-1 winner backing Southampton against Everton, and that's what I'm going for again here. What about you?
Yeah, I like that. If I had to pick a side, I'd probably go for Southampton. I've avoided tipping the result. I've gone for both teams to score at 8-15. It's not the most exciting odds, but it could be useful for an accumulator. Southampton are likely to have more possession and be on the front foot. They're not bad at breaking teams down. And despite Villa's early success, there's evidence to suggest that Southampton will find a way through if a match plays out like this. Villa have had three games where they've had less possession. The last was Leeds, and the only team who failed to score against them, having had more possession, was Fulham.
Yeah, and Fulham, of course, who, I don't know if you saw that stat going around, but they have by far the most passes per goal of any team in the league, so that's not wholly surprising.
Yeah, so Fulham have had a lot of sterile possession, and although Aston Villa have started well, especially defensively, I think Southampton will be able to break them down. On the other hand, Villa possess some threat on the counter. They've showed that a few times. And Southampton are very prone on the counter.
Yep, that's all true. With that in mind, you possibly won't like my wildcard tip. I have essentially just doubled down, so it's a bit boring in some respects, but I've gone Southampton -1 on the handicap. I think 9-2 seems far too high. I mean, they've scored well in most of their games this season. Leeds showed that Villa can be got at. Southampton are in form when you look at their recent results. I just like this a lot, to be honest with you.
I don't hate it. Obviously, I wouldn't back it personally. I've avoided tipping a result, as I said. For me, I've gone with Danny Ings to score first at 10-3. And as I said earlier, I think Southampton will find a breakthrough. Ings is by far the most likely goal scorer for Southampton, even though he didn't score in the last one. His movement in tight spaces is very good. And anytime Southampton do score, he's usually involved directly.
Yep, I quite like that. It was a bit of an odd game last week where he turned provider, got both assists in that Everton game, I believe. But yeah, generally speaking, he tends to be the one on the end of the chances. So given that I'm backing Southampton goals, I would agree that Ings is fairly likely to open the scoring. So yeah, no complaints from me on that one.
Perfect.
Brilliant. So we'll move on to the next game, which is a big one. Manchester United versus Arsenal. I wish I could have avoided this game altogether. I've not had huge luck tipping either of these teams this season. I think the problem is I don't massively rate either of them, but they both have enough going for them that they can turn up with a big performance on any given week. But it's clearly a big fixture, so I'll give it a go. My value selection is Arsenal to win either half at 11-10. It's just a fairly nice way of mitigating that uncertainty, because this could easily come off, whether it's a high-scoring game or a bit more cagey. So at over evens, I'll take it. That's pretty much the logic there. What do you think of that one?
Yeah, it's an interesting market. I don't mind that. It avoids tipping the overall result, which is something that I'd like to do on this one as well. I looked at a different market as well. I was looking at the cards market, but there weren't any odds available at the time. I think there'll be a lot of cards in this one. But instead, I've gone for under 2.5 goals at 6-5. Arsenal have suffered back-to-back 1-0 defeats to Man City and Leicester, two big sides. They've only conceded 5 goals in 6 league games, 3 of which were against Liverpool, so they've been pretty tight defensively. Similarly, United have responded to their 6-1 dropping by conceding just once and drawing 0-0 with Chelsea. So the crazy penalty decision aside, that match never looked like having over 2.5 goals. And an equally big game, I think it could pan out in a similar way.
Yep, it's just such a horrible season to try and tip these things, as we've learned the hard way multiple times so far. I think our first win on the over-under might have been my Leicester-Arsenal shout last week. But then again, that did involve Arsenal. So as you say, the form is to some extent with you. You're right on the penalty instant, by the way. No bias accusations there. That should clearly have been a penalty. I mean, just, I don't even want to go down that road again, but VAR again not picking up on an obvious foul. But anyway, my wild card, you'll like this. Again, I'm just studiously avoiding any particularly emphatic tip. So I've gone for 1-1, 2-2, or 3-all draw at 7-2. So obviously a bit of a strange market, but I do quite like the look of it. So at the risk of making the same mistake as last week, I don't see a 0-0 here. But they are two teams competing at similar levels. So a score draw seems pretty plausible, and these are obviously the only likely score lines for that scenario playing out.
Yeah, let's hope for a 1-all draw, because I've doubled down on my under goals market. I've gone for under 1.5 goals at 7-2. Nothing too exciting, but it's all the things I've said previously. I'm expecting it to be a tight, cagey match, so under 1.5 looks good to me. If you're not keen on backing the goals, then Fakar's market should be decent. It's usually a feisty game between these two, so anything to predict over a certain amount of cards or even a red card could be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, firstly, I should point out that a 1-all draw would mean that under 1.5 goals loses, so let's not hope for that. But yeah, so clearly I don't hugely like your tip, given what I've tipped. It could happen. It's just, I don't really have any clue how this game is going to pan out in terms of the goals. I've just tried to cover my bases as much as possible, but I respect that you actually have an idea in your head of how this game's going to go. So, yeah, I mean, it's a fair enough tip. I don't hugely like it, but we'll find out, I suppose.
Might have to edit out my bad maths.
Nah, I think we should expose you. anyway, we'll move on to the Monday evening game, which is Leeds against Leicester. I'll let you start us off on the value for this one.
I've stuck with the under goals market here. Under 2.5 goals at evens. Leicester proving very difficult to predict. 5-2 win over City, immediately followed by 3-0 loss to West Ham, 1-0 loss to Villa, and now a narrow win over Arsenal. So instead, I'm going to focus on Leeds. After their chaotic start, Leeds have settled down to what a lot of people assumed they would be like. They've averaged 2 goals for and 0.75 against in their last 4 games. 3 of the 4 games featured under 2.5 goals. I think these are two evenly matched sides, so not too many goals, tight contest.
Yep, I can see it panning out similarly. I've gone fairly routine with this one. I've just gone for Vardy anytime goal scorer, which comes in at just over evens. It's an obvious one, but it seems a fairly good time to roll it out. I mean, like you touched upon, Leeds are looking a bit more secure defensively recently. As you say, less than a goal a game average over the last 4. I predicted they might calm down after that chaotic start. But the fact remains that they have conceded in 5 out of 7 of their games this season, if you look all competitions. And while they are acquitting themselves very well, they are still a newly promoted side. Only the very best defences can contain Vardy, really. He's a consummate goal scorer, and I think he's a highly likely source if Leicester do manage to get themselves a goal. So that's the thinking there.
Yeah, and obviously with penalties still so prevalent, Vardy's the taker, so that only boosts his chances.
Yeah, of course. What have you gone with on the wild card?
I've doubled down again. under 1.5 goals at 3-1. I promise I'll bring out something interesting for the overall wildcard. For now, I've gone for the same reasons as the under 2.5. I think this might take a similar pattern to the Leeds versus Wolves game. Two evenly matched sides. That one was 0-0 for a long time until Wolves won it late on. So I wouldn't be at all surprised to see this one end 0-0 or someone steals it and gets 1-0.
This is all going to end in tears this week, isn't it? You're just duplicating your value and your wild cards. If you're wrong on any of these predictions, it's all going to go south very quickly indeed. But in terms of the actual prediction, yeah, I don't mind it. The logic stacks up. I've gone for another score group prediction, actually. I don't mind this market. So I've gone Leeds 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 at 3-1. Obviously, there's a degree of covering multiple eventualities here in the sense that 2 out of 3 of these outcomes would make my value tip impossible. But Leeds are the form side. Leicester looked really poor recently until that win against Arsenal, which in itself wasn't at all emphatic. So my hope is that the 2-1 part of that score group comes in with Vardy getting the goal for Leicester. But either way, this score group covers any relatively conservative Leeds victory, which is pretty much what I see happening.
Yeah, if I had to back a result, I'd probably err on the side of Leeds as well. So it's a fair enough tip.
Okay, overall wildcards. You sound like you have something interesting up your sleeve, so I'll let you kick us off.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. I don't think this player has scored a senior goal before, but I'm backing him. I'm backing him to do it this time. I've got Tariq Lamptey, anytime scorer, at 20-1. He gets forwards a lot. He's had a very good start to the season. Spurs don't really do clean sheets. I know they got one against Burnley, but Burnley had a disallowed goal. And up until Spurs scored, Burnley probably looked for the most likely to score. So the Spurs fullbacks get very advanced, which will leave space in behind for Lamptey. He's averaged a shot every 2 hours so far, which isn't amazing. But the positions of his shots are interesting. All three of them have come from just outside a 6-yard box, where I think he'll pop up here. And you never know.
Yeah, I mean, it breaks kind of our two golden rules so far, which are stay away from Spurs and really stay away from Brighton, because both of them have just been absolutely shafting us this season. I've been horribly overly optimistic about Brighton, who keep on looking good and just not getting results. Spurs, as we touched upon earlier, is just a bit of a roller coaster. But yeah, I hope this comes in for the sake of my fantasy team, where Lamptey lost his clean sheet in the 83rd minute against West Brom last week and was also robbed of a perfectly valid assist. But in terms of whether I think it comes in, well, obviously I don't think it will, but that's why it's 20-1. Do I think there's a chance it comes in? Yeah, possibly. Like you say, a shot every 2 hours isn't that inspiring, but Spurs have wing-backs who are quite high. He could easily get in behind and, as you say, drift in more centrally and just pop up around the 6-yard box, where there's always going to be a chance of scoring goals. So I don't hate it as much as you might have expected I was going to.
Yeah, that's good, considering I've tipped someone who's never scored a senior goal, as far as I'm aware.
Okay, and my one is possibly a little less interesting. It's been a little while since I've done an accumulator, so I'm back with that. It is a bit of a strange treble, though. Unsurprisingly, I'm reusing my Southampton to win tip, just because, as far as I'm concerned, it's great value. Then I'm pairing that with Manchester City to beat Sheffield United, just to get the odds up a bit. That seems as close to a foregone conclusion as it gets in the Premier League this week. I've been very disappointed with Sheffield United so far, and obviously City have to be heavy favourites there. And then finally, under 1.5 goals in Wolves against Palace. So this is where it gets a bit different to usual. Wolves have looked underwhelming this season so far, while Palace have been experts in keeping it tight. I could see either a 0-0 or a tight 1-0 either way here, and with any of those scorelines, this would come in. It's probably the riskiest of the three parts of the accumulator, but I think I like it overall.
I actually like that part of the accumulator. For me, I'd say the Southampton one is probably my least favourite part, but again, if I had to pick someone, I'd say Southampton win that. Yeah, I definitely agree with under 1.5 goals. Crystal Palace don't score too many from open play. Wolves don't score too many, full stop. So I can see a 0-0 or a 1-0 victory for Wolves.
Yeah, and that actually boosts the odds quite a bit. I can't remember the exact odds. Unfortunately, I've forgotten to write it down, but I think it just came in slightly over that 8-1 threshold for the wildcard market. So it's somewhere around there. Do you want to move on to your fan team section?
Yep. For anyone who doesn't know, the fan team player matchup is basically a set of head-to-head contests with fantasy points deciding the winner. Each week you can select a few matchups and build an accumulator. You can sign up and have a go yourself with our link on Twitter. James and I will be discussing three matchups each week and keeping a season-long points tally to make things interesting. Last week we had Patrick Bamford against Marcus Rashford. We both picked the guy who didn't score a hat-trick, so we'll move on swiftly. Next up, we had Kai Havertz against Wilfred Zaha, another one that wasn't even close. We both picked Havertz in a 0-0 draw. I suggested he was more likely to do something from open play, so naturally Zaha scored and assisted from open play. And lastly, we had Heung-min Son against Harry Kane, and we both picked Harry Kane. Heung-min Son scored the goal, Kane got the assist, so Son wins that, and that's 0 from 3 last week. So after all that, I'm still in the lead, 2-1 up. This week, we've got Chris Wood against Wilfred Zaha. James, how do you see this one going?
I've learned my lesson. I abandoned Zaha for Havertz last week, and that backfired. So I'm returning to him this week, my one winner from week one. Wood could easily bag against the Chelsea back line. I still don't hugely rate, but they have kept clean sheets against Sevilla and United recently, and Wood hasn't scored since Burnley's opening game. Both of them blanking is very possible, in which case Wood would take it, but I think I'm going to gamble on Zaha carrying on his hot streak with some kind of attacking return.
Yeah, as you mentioned, this is the third week running we've had Zaha, and so far I've refused to pick him, and I got it wrong both times. So this week I'm doing exactly the same. I've gone for Chris Woods. I think both players will blank. Zaha's up against a Wolves side who don't concede many goals, or indeed chances. Palace may have created opportunities from open play against Fulham, but I think it'll be different here. Chris Wood has the asterisk, so if they both draw, then Chris Wood will take it, and I think that's what will happen. Next up, we've got Jimenez against Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Having been rather harsh on Crystal Palace in my last matchup, I'm going to give him some praise here. They're defensively organised, and so far Wolves' performances haven't suggested that they'll score for fun here. Jimenez is the main man for goals, but I think Calvert-Lewin has a higher ceiling. Everton are capable of scoring 2 or 3 against Newcastle. Newcastle are likely to sit deep, and Everton aren't bad at breaking teams down, so I think Calvert-Lewin will get on the score sheet.
Well, on the plus side, it's more interesting than last week because, again, we disagree here. This is a really tough one. Two good strikers in good form, but both up against stubborn defences, so I don't expect either to run riot. Maybe a goal apiece at best. Everton are probably the more likely to win. As you say, you probably fancy them to break Newcastle down, whereas Wolves against Palace, as we touched upon earlier, could easily be a sort of nil-nil kind of situation. And if Everton do get the win, then that would get Calvert-Lewin an extra point. But as they're so hard to split, I'm going to take the asterisk and go with Raul Jimenez.
Fair enough. Lastly, we've got Callum Wilson against Neil Mope. Who have you picked here?
I'm actually going to go rogue here and take Mope versus Spurs. They shipped 3 to West Ham. As you say, they looked vulnerable at times against Burnley. Clearly, this isn't some kind of impenetrable team. And Mope has enjoyed himself against some big sides before. Wilson is more of a talisman in the sense he's the big source of Newcastle returns. I don't know if you've heard of talisman theory in fantasy games, but Who Got the Assist, which is a fantasy account, I've done a lot on it. It's worth checking out. It's quite interesting. Basically, the leading man for any given team is always an asset worth having. But with that being said, I'm still just about going the other way. Newcastle still aren't creating a huge amount. And while Dina's suspension might cause issues, on the whole, Everton have looked solid at the back. So yeah, going to go with Mope.
I actually agree with you here. Tottenham are always vulnerable to conceding, especially to a side like Brighton who are prepared to have a go at teams. Mope has penalties. I know Wilson's taken a spot kick, but if Matt Ritchie's on the pitch, he may not be the first choice. Wilson's up against Everton, who haven't been the best defensively, but Brighton are more likely to outscore Newcastle this week, in my opinion. So that's what I've got for Mope.
Well, fair enough. I didn't necessarily think we'd agree on that one. Just briefly on Callum Wilson thing, I think that Matt Ritchie may have been on the pitch when Wilson had his last penalty, but I could be wrong on that. And as you say, it's probably less of a surefire thing that Wilson has penalties compared to Mope. So the point still stands up. That wraps us up for this week. We're hopefully getting a good guest on for Liverpool's clash with City next time, so do watch out for that. In the meantime, drop us a follow on Twitter @ServingUpClutch. We've been James Martin and Fabio Duarte. Thanks for listening.